You guys are in for a treat. Because, as Pastor was saying, I get nervous, but this is the first time I'm not even nervous. I wasn't nervous. Usually I like stressed out like the whole week or whatever, but I'm not nervous. So I know that God has a word this morning, and he's just using me as an obedient vessel to deliver the word. And it's just, this morning I'm going to talk about, I titled it, it's a very simple title, it's Freedom in Christ. And I guess you can't be preaching about freedom and being up here nervous, right? But it's been something that has been pressing upon my heart, I would say probably the whole summer. I've just been reading and studying about being in freedom. And as we are, I think, you know, I remember my grandmother saying that we were living in the last days. I remember my mother saying these are the last days. And now I feel like I'm saying, like, these are the last days. But I'm telling you right now, the signs are showing that these are the last days. But it's not a time to be fearful, but it's the most exciting time. It's what the Bible has been talking about the whole time. It's what prophets have prophesied about. These are the most exciting times that we could ever live in. And so it's a time for us to fully understand and live out the calling in which God has called each one of us to. And so I'm excited because I know that he's preparing each one for the second coming of his son. And my heart goes out, and the reason why I feel like it's been such a burden on my heart is because I'm here to encourage you not to plateau out on the things that God has called you to. You know, sometimes when we call ourselves that we arrive, we kind of just chill out and we just relax and we get comfortable and we don't want to move from that spot. But I'm here to encourage you that it's not a time to stop. It's not a time to be comfortable. It's not a time to think about, oh, well, I've done X, Y, and Z, so I'm good for now. But it's a time to get deeper, hungrier, thirstier, and into a greater understanding and an awakening to what he's called you into, because none of us have arrived. Amen? And so I want to talk about freedom and what freedom looks like, and just begin to talk about the fullness in which God has called us into. And the scripture that always comes to mind is Galatians 5, chapter 1. And it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And a lot of times when we read that scripture, we stop there. I know I do. I take that, but there's a second, there's a part B to that sentence. And it says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And I find that it's fascinating that Paul, who, you know, wrote this epistle and he's writing this letter, and we find that Paul is not one of the 12 disciples that walk with Jesus. And a lot of times we find that he's a prisoner, but yet he's talking about freedom. And he has this revelation and this understanding of freedom that I think most of us haven't even scratched the surface of. And so as I'm reading and I'm like, how is he even thinking like this? All the stuff that he's been through and all the persecution that he faced, and a lot of times we find that he's not even a free man, but yet his revelation and his understanding for freedom is so much deeper than mine. And I'm drawn to that because I want that. And I want to be like that. And I want my mind to think that way so that when problems and situation comes, that I'm not relying on anything else other than what the Word of God says. And that's where Paul had a greater understanding, is because he believed God, period. That was his understanding. He believed the Word of God. He believed when he had that encounter with Jesus, he believed every single word that was spoken to him. And that is the difference. And I want to be that person. I want to be there where I believe everything that God has for me. And this is where I want to get you to. And so this morning I want us to, and this is a group effort. This is not just about me and this is not about you. We're in this together. So we're all going to examine our hearts and our mind and ask ourselves, are we truly living freely for Christ? Are the things that we're holding on to, are there things that we're holding on to that keep us in bondage? Are we afraid to let go? And are we living the Christ that, I mean, are we living the life that Christ intended for us to live? And these are the questions that I had. And as I'm working on this, and as God is, I didn't know that this day was going to, well, I knew this day was going to come eventually, but as God was preparing me for the summer, these are the questions that I had and the things that I've been looking at and the things that I've been studying as I'm reading and the questions that I keep in the back of my head. Is, am I living truly the life that God intended me to have freely in Him? And so to begin, we need to look at what exactly is freedom. And of course, the dictionary version of what freedom is, it says, it's the power or right to act, speak, or think as one who's without hindrance or resistance. And I think that, you know, most of us, we probably were born in America, but we're now here and we're living. And we know as Americans, freedom and independence is very important. I mean, we even have a statue that represents freedom in America. And so this nation, it was birthed in freedom. You know, we were from Great Britain and we were free. And so like our Declaration of Independence states, we hold these things true to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to give you a history lesson because social studies is not my strength. But I am here to say that the founding fathers had they had something writing this, is that we were created, our freedom comes from our creator. That's where our freedom begins, that's where it comes from. And if anything or anybody or any other person tells you something different, they are wrong. Your freedom comes from God. That's where it starts. And if you look any other place for your freedom, you're going to be in bondage. That's just the truth. And so to some degree, I think that we lack an understanding of freedom because we get this dictionary of definition of what freedom is, and we rely our freedom on ourselves. It's our independence. And it's contrary to what God is teaching us, because God is telling us to rely on Him. And He's saying that it's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that lives inside of you. So you have to die to self. And so in order for us to truly get an understanding, we got to kind of wipe away that definition that our freedom is just being able to do whatever we want to do. That's not true. Because we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to our Creator, which is God Himself. And so in Galatians chapter 5, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm, and I want to stress that part. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And so, like I said, our freedom doesn't come from man, but our freedom was established the moment that Jesus Christ died on the cross and He rose again for our sins. So we sang this song this morning, and we have one of the things that we have been set free from is from sin. When He died on that cross, He covered our sins. And we weren't even around. We didn't even really do anything. But He still did it for us anyway, and He did it for each one of us here. And so we have been set free from sin. Now I want you to kind of just say in your mind, I've been set free from sin. And because we have to hear that, because sometimes sin holds us back. And sometimes this lack of understanding that you've already been set free from sin keeps you back and keeps you in bondage. And I find myself also, what I feel like when I'm up here, I'm always talking to the believer or whatever. This is only for the believer, you know, because sin, if you haven't accepted the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, then you will be bound to sin. But when you repent it, and you ask the Lord into your heart, and you ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, He did it right away. Amen. He didn't wait a year. He didn't wait to see how you was going to act or behave. He did it in that moment. And so He's saying that you have been set free from sin because you have been bought with a price. Amen? Amen. And so Paul is in Galatians, Paul is making a special, in this verse, he's making a special notion that he's talking about freedom and he's talking about justification. And he's saying how, he's teaching him how to not only live right, but to stay living right. And in this particular verse, I'm not going to get into it, but you can go back and read it, but he's talking about legalism and particularly circumcision, because a lot of people had an issues with that. And sometimes we can think of, as the body of church, we get issues on certain topics. And we get hung up on certain things. And Paul is saying, you may be saying, well, this person over here does X, Y, and Z, so they ain't saved. Right? Folks be saying stuff like that. Or they do stuff, you know, they wear certain things or, I don't know, behave certain ways. And, you know, it gets into, like, sometimes legalism. And so this is what Paul is addressing. And he's stressing and he's saying, listen, let me tell you something. Well, this is not what he's saying, but I'm just summing it up. He's saying, and he's stressing, like, he's like, you know, you have a right standing with God, not because of anything that you do or anything that you wear or anything that because you behave a certain way. Your justification, your right standing with God is because of Jesus Christ alone. It's because of his blood that has washed away your sins. And that's it. Nothing more and nothing less. It's only because of the blood of Jesus that you have been set free. And this morning, I want you to understand that it's only the blood of Jesus that has set you free. It's not the clothes that you wear. It's not the certain hairstyles that you wear. It's not because you come to church on Sunday morning. It's because of the blood of Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus has set you free. And so this is what Paul is saying, and he's like telling them, like, listen, Christ alone only, nothing more, nothing less. And so then in Galatians chapter 4, I want you to turn there because it's kind of long, and it says chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hold on, let me get a drink. It says, what I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns his own estate, the heir is subject to the guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we are underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might have adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into your heart, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God also made you an heir. And this was Paul's concern. And this was also my concern. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those by the nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to the weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? And so Paul gives this illustration about the underage child and his inheritance. But what I want to focus on is the part where he was concerned. And he says, how is it that you turn back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? And what he's really speaking to us about is sometimes as we're walking out our Christianity and we hit bumps in the road, when situations come, we go back. We go back to those, and I love how he describes it, weak and miserable forces. And we go back to those things that are familiar. And we go back to those things that may have brought us a little comfort at a time, but it didn't bring us peace. You know, and we go backwards. And Paul is saying, stop going backwards. Stop. Just stop going backwards. Your sins have been forgiven. Stop going back to the same sin. Stop going back into thinking that you haven't been forgiven. Stop going back into legalism. Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. And so we have to get to a place where we stop going back and keep moving forward. Yes, there will be bumps in the road. I'm here to tell you, there will be bumps in the road. Yes, you will face trials. Yes, you will face tribulations. Yes, everything is not going to be a bed of roses, but keep going forward. Stop looking back, stop going back, and stop going back to those weak and miserable forces. The reason why you left and had a savior is because you wasn't satisfied back then. You know, those of us who have called upon the name of the Lord, we left those places. So why is it that we want to always go back? Why do we allow other people's circumstances, other people's problems to bring us back? Amen? But we do. And so we ought to be those people that are moving forward, that are walking forward. And so when people bring up past issues or try to remind you who you used to be, you can say, hold up, no, that's not me anymore. I'm moving forward. I've pressed forward. I'm beyond that. My sins have been covered. My sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And you can say those things with confidence instead of going back to those miserable forces and being weak and enslaved again. And so the scripture that we are standing on and we're talking about, it says, stand firm. That's what standing firm is really saying, is stop going back. You're going to stand firm. You're going to hold to where you are right now, and you're going to move forward, no longer going back. Amen? Yes. Freedom also gives us the ability to think freely. Every battle and every act of sin begins in your mind. Everything that you do, it starts in your mind. I went to college for, what did I go to college for? For counseling, for school counseling. And we learn about all these theories and all this stuff of how to, help people. And in just in every single one, and it's a lot. It's so funny because I see a lot of, like, some of the theologists, it seems like they kind of take scripture and then they kind of make it their own and they say, oh, this is a way to treat people or how you can support. And I'm like, that's scripture. And so why did I even go there? I don't even know. But, thoughts. But in counseling, we are taught that, you know, if you can change a person's mind, then you can change their behavior. That's scripture. If your mind is renewed, you will be a changed person. And so I read this and I'm like, you know, every sin begins in your mind. Nobody wakes up and says, hey, I'm going to rob a bank today. You thought about it. You meditated on it. You planned it out. And then you said, today is going to be the day. Right? So every sin begins in the mind. So your battle begins here. It doesn't begin when you act it out. It begins right here. And so how do we fix that? Well, we fix that by renewing our minds. And Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, for he that thinks in his heart, so is he. And in Romans 8, 7, it says, the carnal natural mind is enmity with God. And I love the NIV, how it says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. And what does that mean? So that means our mind without Christ is against God. Your mind without Christ is against God. When you were born, you did not have the mind of Christ. So you were born with a mind that was totally against God. And this is why the scripture calls on us to transform our minds. This is why we are encouraged to renew our minds, because God said that a mind that is not for him is against him. It's against him. And so in order for us to experience the true freedom that we have in Christ, we have to renew our minds. We renew our minds by the reading of the word. You can't just show up in church or hang out with people or whatever and think that your mind is going to be renewed. I hate to tell you, but it's not going to be renewed. I'm just telling you, it's not going to be renewed. And if we're honest, when we think about the battles that we face, those weak areas is those ones that we haven't surrendered to the word of God. Think about it. Think about those areas that you struggle with. Think about the problems that you have. Those are the areas where you haven't given God and surrender and believed his word for that area of your life. Some of us, it's like a couple areas. Some of us, it's a lot of areas. because we're not reading. Our minds haven't been transformed. And so if our minds isn't transformed, it's against God. And Pastor was just sharing before I got up here about, you know, me personally, some personal stuff. But it's funny because the first time, you know, Pastor had asked me to like share on a Sunday, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Now, we already went through this when he had asked me for Wednesday nights, when I used to do Wednesday nights. I got comfortable Wednesday nights, but I was like, the Sunday crowd, I'm not doing that. No way. Nope, I'm not doing it. And so he said to me, well, let me tell you something. Before you answer, he's like, why can't you do it? And I have my answer already prepared. And he's like, before you answer, I'm going to say that any excuse you come up with, it's going to be a lie before God. And I was like, dang, it's a lie before God. Like, what is he talking about? He was just like, did he call you? And I was just like, yeah. Did he tell you to preach and make disciples? I was like, yeah. He was like, did he give you a spirit of fear? And I'm like, no. He was like, so why can't you do it? And I was going to say because I was afraid, but dang, he already covered it. Did he give me a spirit of fear? So I was like, I can't say that. I was like, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to have to do it. But that, and this is why I did it, is because I'm like, he used the word of God to transform my mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm here because my mind has been transformed. Because my natural carnal mind is against God. My natural carnal mind agrees with fear. That's what it does. So when I'm experiencing some emotions and my heart is beating fast and my palms are sweating and I'm like, yeah, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. That is my carnal mind against God. But when I say that God has not given me a spirit of fear, that is not me that lives, and that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, I can stand here on a Sunday morning and preach the word of God. Because that's what I agree with. And so this is what I encourage you to agree with. And you know, when I walked out of pastor's office, I wanted to be annoyed. I wanted to be annoyed at him because I'm like, dang, why is he always doing this or whatever? But then when I got in the car, I said, you know what? If I'm annoyed, it's because I don't want to change. And how many times has, whether it's pastor or whether it's someone else, has spoken what the word of God has said in your life, and you get so mad and you get so annoyed, and the root of it is because you don't want to change. Are we honest enough to say that? You see, I was honest in my car. I was like, yeah, I ain't going to be mad at pastor. Ain't no need to avoid him. Bottom line is I don't want to change if I get mad, but I want to change, so that's why I didn't get mad. And so if you want to change, if you don't want your life to be the same, if you want to be different than you was yesterday or a year from now, then you have to be willing to transform your mind. Philippians 4:8 is clear on what our mind should be focused on. It says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So the Bible is clear on the things that we should be meditating on. Those things that are pure, those things that are a good report, those things that are praiseworthy. And Philippians 4, chapter 8, should be our standard for our thought life. This is my standard for my thought life. So any thoughts that don't line up with this standard is against God. And I don't want it. And I got to get rid of it. And I got to get rid of it by finding another scripture, finding something else in the word that tells me something correctly that I can believe and stand on. Because the devil is good at telling you lies. He's good at encouraging you and not the truth. But God is better. Amen? His word is better. And then when we have the truth, we have freedom. And we have freedom to make the right and righteous decision. Amen? And so let this be your standard. Find some scriptures. Find some verses that's your standard. This is my standard for my life. This is my standard for my thought life. My thoughts will get out of whack. They will. And I have to be able to draw back and come back to this verse and say, okay, this is what I'm thinking. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it praiseworthy? Some of these thoughts that we have, they ain't praiseworthy. It's a bunch of complaints and a bunch of lies. And why do we feel like we have to call up everybody and tell everybody about it? No. These are praiseworthy thoughts, things that you want to testify, things that make you excited, things that you know that God did and he delivered and he came through. That's the report that we want to give. And you notice that this verse is not about your emotions. It's not about how you're feeling that day. It's not about that. It's about those things that are true. So we also have the freedom from the penalty of sin. How many know that we deserve death? We deserve death. And thank God, whoo, we don't have to experience that. We don't have to experience that. He sent his son. Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." Outside of Christ, we have a death sentence. And yet, I don't think even as believers, I think we kind of take it seriously for our lives. But I don't think we kind of take it, I don't think we take it enough seriously for other people's life. People are dying every single day. Everybody's not going to heaven. But it's up to us to help to spread the gospel so that people have the opportunity to go to heaven, you know, because we all deserve death. And God did something magnificent and wonderful in our lives for those who accepted him. He did something great in our lives, but it's also our responsibility to bring what he did into the lives of others. We are to re-represent his son, Jesus Christ, in every aspect of our lives. In the way that we walk around this town, in the way that we speak, and the way that we handle our finances and our family, it is a representation of who God is. And so life is truly a gift. And Jesus took and died that death and took the penalty that we deserve. He took it. And because he did that, forever, our future destiny has been changed. Thank God. Miss Brenda was talking about having a heart, being grateful this morning. We have a reason. I don't care what's going on in your life. You have a reason to be grateful this morning. You know? It doesn't matter what situations you may have going on outside. You're here this morning. You're in his presence. He has an assignment for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a love beyond any other love for you. And for that, there should be a gratitude that is always birthed up inside of you. And that you give praises to God Almighty every single day, every single moment, every single second. Because there is a heart of gratitude that we automatically should have because of who he is. We also have the freedom from guilt and shame. And I'm here to tell you that guilt and shame will cripple you. It will torment you. It will destroy you. In any love and relationship that Christ has for you, it will not give you access to that. Because guilt and shame will eat you from the inside out. Amen. If you allow it. And sometimes when we have like a past or we have trauma or we have situations that have hindered us, or maybe we were in sin or whatever the case may be, guilt and shame is associated with that. And we may say, okay, well, I've been set free from sin, and I know that my sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. I understand that. But we walk around guilty. The way that we live our lives and the conversations that we have, it doesn't speak freedom. It speaks guilt. And it speaks shame. And just like the enemy is always good at reminding of who you're not, he's also reminding of your past and your shameful moments. He will rob you from joy and peace. And how many know that joy and peace are a gift from God? Joy and peace is a gift from God. It is such a beautiful thing to be able to walk around in peace. even though everything else is falling apart. That is a gift. It is truly a gift. And I don't, you know, some of you may have, I think we're all like, the teenagers are not here or whatever. They haven't lived long enough to experience hard times. Some of them. But we've all experienced some hard times. We've all experienced some heartaches and thinking in moments where we thought, there's no way I'm getting through this. But the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, he delivers. He's faithfully delivering peace. Right? And so guilt and shame will rob you from that experience, will rob you from that gift. And I'm saying, like, don't let the enemy rob you. If there's anybody that's struggling right here this morning and they feel like, oh, man, I know I'm forgiven, but I still feel like blah, blah, blah. Don't let the enemy get another second of your peace. Receive joy. Receive peace. Make your mind, renew your mind on those scriptures that guarantee you joy and guarantee you peace, because it's a gift that God has for his people, for his children. Freedom is our inheritance. We are no longer slaves, but we are children, is what the Word of God calls us. And I had to write down a couple of scriptures to confirm so that you guys would believe me when I say that you're children of God. This is not a cliche. This is nothing that I'm making up. This is not just for me. This is for the believer. God calls you his children. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Romans 8, 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. In John 1, 12, it says, but as many as receive him, to him gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. In Galatians 4, chapter 7, it says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I love being a child of God. It's the best name that I have. And I love inheritance. Amen? I like getting stuff. Like, who doesn't like getting stuff? Especially things that you don't even have to work for or deserve. That's like the best gift. And this is what God promises. He says that you have an inheritance to my kingdom. That means peace belongs to you. Joy belongs to you. All of those things belong to you because it's your inheritance. And so when you have an inheritance, you're confident, right? It brings forth this confidence. It brings this freedom because you know who you belong to. You know that your God is your... He says that I will be a father to you. And one of the things that we know a father is a provider. A father does not let his children lack, right? And so God is saying, I'm going to be that father to you. I'm going to be that provider to you. I'm going to make sure that you lack nothing. And I think of my children, and I'm so blessed. I give God all the glory. I'm not here like bragging and saying that like my husband and I are rich or whatever. But I'm saying that God's favor and his protection and his hand has been upon our family and our household, that my children lack nothing. Okay? Amen. And we should all have that testimony. My children lack nothing. My children come in the house, they turn the lights on. There's lights. They turn the water on to take a shower. There's water. Thanks to Pastor Jerome, we could take a lot of longer hot showers. See, God even brought another man in to help us, to bless us. My children go in the refrigerator. To their standard, they may not. They say they don't have food. We have food. We have food. They open it, they eat it, they don't walk around stressed out and worry like, oh, we're going to have light today, oh, we're going to take a shower today, oh, we're going to have clothes. They don't. They are confident. Therefore, they have the freedom. In our house, they have the freedom to just go change. You know, at one time, I think they was like changing their clothes like two times a day. I'm like, listen, there's six of us in the house. I'm the only one doing laundry here. We're going to keep the same outfit on all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not doing that. But their clothes get too small. They, mom, our clothes are too small. We need more clothes. Okay, we got to go to the store, get more clothes. The shoes are too small. They lack nothing. And this is the same thing that God is saying. I am your father. I am your provider. You lack nothing in me. And because he is our father, because he is our provider, because he is the hand that blesses us, we lack nothing. We have confidence in knowing who he is. And he brings us to that. He gives us that confidence so that we can walk freely in his presence, make our requests known to him, and he is faithful to bless us. Amen. Amen. He's a good God. He is a good God. Yes. So this is what freedom looks like. It's our confidence not being in ourselves, not our independence or being self-sufficient, but our confidence in our freedom and knowing who our God is, our God that forgives our sins, our God that transforms and renews our mind, our God that is going to be our protector and our provider and make sure that we lack nothing. And so this is what the freedom of Christ is, how we ought to be looking. And this is what the body should be looking. The body shouldn't be looking like the world, needing and lacking and complaining and worrying and fretting and living in fear and constantly saying, oh, no, it was the world is ending, oh, whatever. That's not what the body should be doing. We should be the confident people to help those that think like that. So that they will say, tell me about this God that you serve because I want this. This is what freedom looks like. And we know that God has no respect of person. God isn't saying, oh, well, I'm just going to do this for Kia because her outfit is nice. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have a respect of person. But you know what? Each of our walk is different because each of us believe different. That's the difference between us, is how much are you going to believe? How much of his word are you going to believe? Are you going to believe it all? Because if you're going to believe it all, you're going to look good. If you're only going to believe a little bit, you're only going to look good a little bit. How much are you going to believe? How much of your word, how much of his word are you going to take and live it and breathe it and believe it and make your life line up according to it and follow his commandments? How much of... That's what distinguishes us. Nothing else is the amount of belief you're going to put into him.
That's right.
And, you know, I also like how, you know, we have to get, I think it's important, I said this before, we have to get to a place where it's just like, you know what? My past is the past. Yeah. I'm done with my past. My past doesn't define me. And I think we say that a lot in church, and I think some of us, like I said, we believe it. And then there's some that's just like, yeah, but I did, but you don't understand. Yeah. It's gone. It's finished. Yeah. What freedom looks like. Christian freedom is freedom together. We need each other. Yes. And I don't know how many times I got to come up here and tell you that we need each other. The body needs each other. Everybody that's in here today, we need each other. Sometimes we're not always going to be so confident. Sometimes somebody's going to need to come alongside of you, and that's okay. We need each other. It's doing life with one another. You know, and it's just being together and sharing with each other and saying, oh, you know what? You know, sometimes that encouraging word is just like, you know what? Yeah, I understand. Here's a scripture. You know, when pastors comes to you, when you go to pastor and pastor says, he says, and I've heard him say this, he said it to me, what scripture are you standing on? Oh gosh, here we go. He's doing too much. But it's the truth. What scripture are you standing on? A lot of times I don't go to pastor because I'm like, okay, if I go to pastor, he's going to say what scripture I'm standing on. So I might as well just go find the scripture, stand on it. And then I stand on it and I'm like, oh, I ain't got to go to pastor no more. Right? I mean, that's just for my life. I'm like, okay, well, I save myself time. I save him time because I already know what he's going to say. So I'm telling you, if you're going to go to pastor, come with a scripture, stand on it, and then you may not even have to go. But we need to do life together. We are free to serve one another. A body that's free, a person that's free, we serve one another. We don't, you know, we even serve our enemies. We serve people that get on our nerves. We serve people that don't agree with us. We serve people that don't look like us. We serve people that don't behave like us. We serve. Yeah. Jesus was the greatest servant. If we're going to represent him, we're going to have to be servants, even when we don't want to. And trust me, I don't be wanting to be serving a lot of times, but I serve because this is what I'm called to do. Because this is doing life together. This is what it looks like. This is what freedom looks like. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, it says, though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all. So it's important that we bless one another, that we stand in agreement with one another, that we help each other out. And not just in the house, but definitely outside the house. You know, you guys in here, you know, I know most of you or whatever, you all got, you got it together, you know? You have accepted the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. That means you got it together. But there are some of those out there who are clueless, and they need to see you. See you represent Christ. And I just want to close with this last verse, and it's Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. And I use the Message version because, like I said, this is something that's been on my heart. And when I read it in the message, it really did something because I was just like, for the first time, like, I can identify with Paul. Like, I always think Paul is just like a little bit all that. I do. I think he's like, you know, I was like, you know, Paul had his stuff together. I mean, he didn't always have it together, but when he got it together, he had it together. And so, but when I read this in the message, I was like, this is me. I understand where Paul was coming from, and this is my heart. This is exactly, I probably could have just said this and sat down because it changed me when I read it. And so I just want to share it in the message, and it says, this is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And it says, I'm not saying that I have it all together, that I've made it, but I'm well on my way reaching out for Christ. I was going to try to say it without crying. But I'm well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wonderfully reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Amen. And that is my heart, because I don't care what happens. I'm not going back. And I'm not saying that life is perfect. And I think we got to get that out of our mind. And I'm not the same that I was 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And I thank God for that. And I'm moving forward, and I want you to be encouraged to move forward. Because there is a God who loves you. There is a God that has placed a specific calling that only you can fulfill. I can't fulfill the calling that you have on your life. Only you. That calling was designed perfectly for at the right moment, at the right second, the day that you was created, it was designed for you to fulfill. And he has shown us a way where he is saying, listen, I want you to get rid of that crappy thinking that you used to have. And I've called you to be a new creation. And I want you to get a hold of my word so that you can understand who I am, who you are in him. He's transformed our hearts. He's renewed our minds. And because of that, forever, we shall never be the same. Amen?